Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Grab a sheet mask, settle in. It's going to be a bumpin' ride with Fat Mascara right now.
First up, we're going to talk about out-of-this-world beauty trend that Jess and I have been seeing. I'm Jen, by the way, if I didn't say that.
I'm Jess.
Then, age-old question, are you a bar or a liquid woman or man? So we're going to get in the shower and talk about that. Not literally. We're still in the studio. And last up, keratin hair products. There's a big new company doing keratin hair products, and we learned a lot about it. So we want to talk about keratin, what it can do for your hair. And then we have a major guest. Who is it, Jess?
Mage, Alicia Yoon, CEO and founder of Peach & Lily, K Beauty Authority.
Go more than 2 months without talking about Queen Pat and what she's up to. Am I right?
She likes to be called Mother.
Mother Pat. I speak of Pat McGrath. I actually haven't seen her new products, but you have, and they are very on trend. What's going on?
They're called Dark Star.
Okay.
That's a new collection. Dark Star.
Not to be confused with Death Star. Exactly. Totally different thing.
Exactly. So yeah, I went to the event the other day. They are a bunch of shadows in, you know, the kind of like half an orb shape, like a little, you know, rounded shadow palette.
Yeah.
Black, gray, silver. I like this one, like beautiful brown. It's like a very rich brown. And then you stick this like kind of heloscopic, I don't want to say slime, but like gel over it to give it like a special effect if you want.
Ah.
And then you can, you know, you buy the kits, the blue, the black, et cetera, et cetera. It was really cool, very dreamy. She used it at Anna Sui. But I was like sitting there and I was thinking, I feel like I've seen, Pat, I know you're the originator. I know you do it first, but this is very untrend. I'm seeing a lot of this kind of like spacey, intergalactic.
Holographic.
You know, yeah, this take a magic ride somewhere kind of beauty stuff.
Me too. Lots of makeup products with those kind of crazy rainbow holographic shimmers. Mm-hmm. We'll call it celestial beauty,
celestial
out of this world beauty.
Beauty.
But I would posit that this is just, yes, I just said posit, an extension of that whole unicorn trend.
Mm-hmm. A little bit more sophisticated than it.
Yes, but I don't even get why that got the name unicorn. There were all those rainbow highlighters, pastel shimmer, kind of holographic as well. And everybody was calling it unicorn. Is it just because it's like one of a kind? Why was it called Unicorn?
I think it's because, you know, it's like that fantasy palette. It's, you think about anything, any kind of unicorn accessory that you had as a child, or if you have a unicorn, picture a unicorn. Is it green? Is it black?
No, it's white and shimmery with rainbow
exactly.
tail.
Exactly. So it's this kind of iridescent, like, you know, fantasy trip. And then on the extension of that was mermaid, which has been, you know, a more recent thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Pat is onto something by, like, getting ahead of it with this, like, dark star, because it's dreamy, but it's a little naughty, a little goth.
Right. Goes along with those Urban Decay moon dust.
Oh, right. I forgot about shadows. Moon dust. And then there's a new brand from Sephora. Didn't you go to the launch? It's called Stellar. Was that kind of?
Yes. The name, it did have a whole star story that I cannot remember now. Thanks for putting me on the spot. Lovely brand, by the way. But also, like, Haloscope from Glossier, mm-hmm. their highlighter, has, like, a starry-eyed kind of... Starry-eyed. See what I did there?
Starry-eyed.
Yeah. Is there anything else that's, like... coming out that
well,
you've
it's
seen?
Not a brand, but this look, it was one of my favorite looks from Fashion Week. This was at Issey Miyake, and we can certainly post this on our Instagram. James Pessis, I can always never say his last name, Pekis.
I've never said it out loud, actually.
Just cute James, cute mm-hmm. James. His look for Issey Miyake.
The hair was
kind of like really smooth, and one section of it was painted to look like the Northern Lights.
Oh, cool. And my boss
gorgeous.
Erin at Mary Claire just got back from Korea and said hair stamps are big there, like doing makeup, like holographic makeup
on
your
God,
hair.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
Which is kind of what that picture looks like to me.
Like really like Aurora Borealis, just very ethereal and dreamy. You know, it's on trend.
It is. I think I can get into this for spring.
Mm-hmm.
Celestial beauty.
Well, look at my nails. I did a little celestial moment here, too.
So hot.
So hot. So cold. So Northern Lights.
So out of this world.
Two, three. Splish, splash, I was taking a bath. Long about a Saturday night.
Jen, I had this, like, really spirited conversation that I was not ready for the other day at work.
Tell me.
So we were talking about, like, putting a cleanser in the magazine. And somebody got all, like, hyped up about how they hate bar soap. And, like, no, we should put the body wash in, and it just became, you know, in the end it wasn't about like what should ultimately go in. It was like a fun conversation, but it was like a debate, body wash versus bar soap.
Oh my God, it's like the toilet paper debate. Do you roll it under or over? Like, you know your way is right for sure.
I'm pretty fluid. I prefer a bar. I really prefer a bar, but I'm not going to like scream in the shower if, you know, I'm forced to use a shower gel. What about you?
I'm a bar girl myself, but I remember when the body washes first came out and I was like all on board.
Oh, I had to have one.
And then I wanted Bath and Body Works because it was like $3 for $8, Country Apple and whatever else. And that was like so cool to have a body wash. And I don't remember what magazine I read it in, something about those loofahs mm-hmm. and like how gross they can get.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me switch back to what I grew up on, which I still use, which is the Dove bar.
The Dove Beauty bar.
But
oh
then
my God.
But some people say, ew, how can use the Dove bar. Okay, here's an example. You go stay over someone's house. Whenever someone stays at my house, I always give them a fresh Dove bar.
A freshie.
How much is it? $1? Here's a fresh one.
Always give them a freshie.
Half of my friends are like, why are you giving me a fresh one? There's already a bar of soap in the shower. But they're like, but I'm like, that's one's used. And then they're like, well, it's soap.
No, but just a nice luxurious touch. Wait a second. Oh, no, you actually think that there's something like unclean about letting them
use your bar? Well, I don't want to. Listen, I live with someone really hairy. Sometimes there's remnants of hair left on it. Like nobody wants to pick up a bar from an unknown source and start washing with it. True, it's soap. So it's clean anyway. It cleans itself. But sometimes there's like a pube on it or something.
Okay. Fair point. I give people a fresh bar because I think it just like, you know, it's like a nice touch.
Right.
But I don't think that there's like, it's a self-cleaning thing. If you really like, if they really want to be like prison like about it, I guess they could like shave a little bit off. I don't know.
But why is that something people do in prison?
I don't know. I guess they're not really so worried about like germs. I just pictured like a prisoner.
You're like, whittle a weapon out of soap?
Yeah, because I just had this image of like I don't know, someone just taking like
you.
A... You know what I mean?
I think you can make a bong out of soap.
I'm like just picturing their hands. Smoke weed or like, something. You know?
No, I'm pretty sure. Okay, all the more reason to get on board with the bars. Look at all these things you can do with them.
But here's
back
the other
to the point,
thing.
Yes.
I don't think that one is superior to the other. I think, let's be real, soap, like SOAP, hardcore soap. You can still buy it, but it's not like, I don't think most of our listeners are using that. I think we're talking about the Beautiful Dove Beauty Bar, a Caress, yeah, an Olay.
These are not things with sodium tallowate, which is the old school drying, changes your pH, strips your skin, mm-hmm, soap, sort of like Lava Bar or like Ivory actually is a soap. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people love that. It's, yeah, a classic, but those can strip your skin.
And then if you use like one of the liquid body washes, those are, you know, they're not stripping. Like I'm speaking in huge generalities, mm-hmm, here, but I think you'll be okay. I really think it's a matter of preference. I did go to the Dove Science Fair the other day and we did this really cool experiment. We put like Dove soap on like a little, I don't know, like a little strip.
You mean Dove Beauty Bar?
Oh my God. They're actually like, Dove lawyers, soap, don't come after me, soap, or the fact checkers. Yeah. It is technically not soap. It is, okay, not soap.
So what was the experiment?
Basically, they showed you how like other cleansers will strip the oils,
yeah,
from like a surface, yeah, and the Dove Beauty Bar won't. So I love the Dove Beauty Bar. I actually didn't know you were such a fan too.
Oh yeah,
it's really good.
The green one.
Really
the green one.
Are you like the green tea, yeah, one?
Or no, Cool Moisture. But I'll say this in conclusion about soap. Mm-hmm. If you wash and you feel squeaky, that is a sign that you like stripped a bunch of sebum. Mm. Like you put down some other stuff you don't want to put down. So like, yeah, your skin shouldn't feel technically different when you get out of washing yourself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
That's my ending point there.
You should just feel soft and lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Like
bubbles.
Like a little baby wrapped in a towel.
Jess, you know I don't often get obsessed with hair products.
Never.
I know. It's just not an exciting area of our world for me. So have you heard of Virtue, this new hairline?
I've heard of it, but I haven't tried it yet.
Okay, so I got to try it. I've tried it. I am so obsessed with it. I went to my colorist, sat in her chair, and she said, did you go for color before you saw me? And I said, no, I haven't been to you in, you know, 4 weeks like usual, whatever.
You go every 4 weeks?
Oh my God, girl, I have to go every 2 weeks. I even touch up my roots in between. Anyway.
It's a full-time job.
That's another segment. This one's about Virtue because she said, your hair looks amazing. And I told her I've been using this. I am so into this shampoo and conditioner. It's really good. It feels slippery and delicious in the shower. It also foams up. Two things that would normally tell you, foam up that you're drying your hair, slippery that you're coating it with silicone.
Yeah.
Yet you're doing neither because you come out, your hair's all slippery, but you still get the super full blowout. So of course I dug into the science. What's going on here? What? It's true. Keratin. You've heard of keratin in beauty products, right?
I have.
So I've always thought like, okay, keratin is a protein. Often it's hydrolyzed keratin. They throw it in a mask. And like, it doesn't go into your hair strand and rebuild protein. It just sort of acts like a smoother. It'll lay on top. But it sounds good because your hair is made of keratin, so you think it's working, right?
Yeah.
So for years and years, companies have been putting in products. This is the first company, they're a biotech company, that they got their keratin from human hair. So they have extracted it from bulk hair that they buy so that when you are using their products, you're not just wrapping in like the smoothing thing. You actually are sort of like redensifying your hair with the keratin.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
I wonder where they get all this bulk hair.
I think the same place you would get hair extensions. But this begs the question, where does all that other keratin come from?
Hmm.
Have you ever wondered about that?
No.
But you've heard of keratin hair products,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. Yeah.
So I did not know this. But proteins are really, you can't engineer a protein like you do like a silicone molecule. You have to extract it from like a vegetable or animal source, the keratin.
Yeah, yeah.
So that most keratin in the old school keratin products comes from, you're not going to like this, hooves, beaks, collagen of animals. That's how they get it. They boil it down and extract the keratin.
I don't like that at all.
I know. So if you're a vegan or vegetarian, you should look into, if you use keratin hair products, you should look into.
I'm curious, like at what stage do they do, like, are they pals with the slaughterhouses? And
buy up
like,
remnants? I don't know.
Yeah, like I want, like what industry is this? Like, is there like a middleman who goes to the slaughterhouses? I don't expect you to know these answers. I'm just curious. Like,
but isn't that the case with all like animal byproducts? They try and use everything. They want to make money. I will say this, though. There are some that come from vegetables. You could still get like certain proteins out of wheat or like, you know how they always say, oh, it has cashmere silk protein.
Yes.
It's not hydrolyzed keratin, but like that's from silk. Oh, yeah. Wait, silk's an animal,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, silkworm.
Anyway, all I'm saying is Virtue is really good. Their keratin comes from hair that is not attached to a human and it's been extracted. And if you are
concerned. That's a good story. That's a, I would like to read more about that.
Yeah, like if you're concerned about animal welfare and animal rights, you might want to steer clear of keratin products. Moral of the story, Jess, you need to try this shampoo.
I'll try it. Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We are so excited to have Alicia Yoon here. For any K-beauty fans, like, it doesn't get bigger than this. You are the CEO and the founder of Peach and Lily, which is basically the last word in K-beauty. Alicia.
And the first word.
Thank you so much for coming, Alicia.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I'm a huge fan of your podcast, so it's very, very exciting.
Thanks.
I need to know, when did K-beauty become so big? I feel like
we
suddenly,
don't even have to say it means Korean beauty. People just know.
Yeah, I feel like if you listen to the podcast and you don't know what K-beauty is, that's okay. No shame. But Korean beauty. Mm-hmm. I feel like I started seeing like masks and like jelly textures like a few years ago. But was that when it happened? Like when was the whole explosion?
So I think it was definitely one of those things where there's a tipping point. But I think it started back in 2011 when Sephora started first carrying the BB cream from Dr. Jart. Mm. And there were starting to be murmurings of Korean beauty. So I would read all these blogs and find it really interesting that people knew or were starting to know about Korean beauty. And then I would say around 2012 when I decided to start Peach and Lily, I mean, it was still very nascent. And it was definitely under the radar. And it was interesting because I would say starting... So 2012 was a year of a lot of education. 2013, I think really big beauty junkies, ones who dig up, like go down rabbit holes and dig up all these random blogs, or not even big blogs. Those are the people who started knowing more about Korean beauty. And I would say 2014 is when I started to really see Korean beauty become a main topic for media outlets as well as become a category for retailers. And so I think I would say 2014 was a really big tipping point.
Okay, that's a nice little timeline you've made us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But what about K-beauty is actually so amazing?
I think there's a lot of different things about it. One is that Korean beauty products reflect the Korean beauty culture.
And what is that?
So the Korean beauty culture, it's all about having very healthy and radiant skin that you can't really fake overnight. So you have to get there by caring for your skin over a longer term. And you're really respecting your skin and treating it as though you're caring for your own health. You know, it's really seen as a self-care approach versus, you know, this is just my appearance and let's fix this overnight. And so a lot of the products are potent but also gently formulated. They don't really promise to deliver instant lasting results, but more about if you do this consistently, if you find a personalized routine that works for you and you're really approaching skincare from a healthy skin perspective, over time, you're going to see that your skin really transforms from the inside out, but also, you know, it's very lasting results. So that translucency, you're really going to be able to maintain that and see that like in your 50s and 60s.
But is this a formulation? Like what from a formulation perspective makes it different? Because you could say that, you know, brands like, I'm just picking these out of nowhere, but like, you know, Estee Lauder or... I can't think of a single other skincare brand right
Neutrogena.
Now. Neutrogena. Neutrogena. Yeah. Like, you know, they would say the same thing as like, you know, we're use about healthy skin every day. Like, you know, they're not promising necessarily quick fixes. So what from a technological standpoint makes K-Beauty different? So or is it not different?
I think it's very different. Because the industry in Korea is so competitive. Mm-hmm. So basically... 5 years ago, there were 1,200 Korean beauty brands. Today, jeez, there are almost 10,000.
What?
So that's exponential growth. And the growth is there because the demand is there. And not just in Korea, but in, you know, Korea's neighbor, China. It's a huge market for Korean beauty products and now also the U.S. and just globally. And so what ends up happening is the question really is, why is the Korean beauty industry so competitive? And why do Korean beauty brands... why do they need to over-deliver on so many different aspects about a beauty product, whether that be amazing packaging, really convenient and innovative application for, you know, even an eyeliner, the way that you apply it, the applicator itself, to formulations. They all need to drive results. Mm-hmm. The formulas, there can't be any gimmicks where it's like, oh, it's super cool, but then it doesn't really work. The value needs to be there. The textures need to be delightful. The scents need to be on point. There needs to be something that makes it stand out in shelves. Like, all of that needs to be there for Korean beauty brands to even survive that hyper-competitive market. And the reason it's so competitive is because it is seen as such an integral part of your lifestyle for Koreans. It's not this afterthought. You know, when I'm three, my mom's teaching me how to brush my teeth and to put on moisturizer. It's a part wow. of life. But also, because of that, these consumers in Korea are the most demanding, you know, often people think even globally. So a lot of beauty brands go and test there because if mm-hmm. Korean beauty consumers are like, I give this green light, usually in other markets, it's going to be pretty successful. And they demand a lot because beauty ideals are so closely linked to having really healthy skin. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to get there unless you have amazing products. And so, you know, there's this dermatologist in Korea who, when I talked to him, he's a celebrity dermatologist. And he was like, oh, I have to move to the States or something because I can't, you know, my customers, my clients, I just can't handle them anymore. They'll walk in with absolutely flawless skin and they'll say, I know my skin is amazing, but it's not as transparent as it was 5 years ago. So I need you to help me see those results, but without any irritation.
Do you think this is a little bit of like dysmorphia?
I don't think so. I don't think that it's, well, I think there's a spectrum. I definitely think that with any culture, there is definitely, if you go a little too extreme, mm-hmm. there could be this obsession with like perfection and, you know, just getting to this level of like, it's unhealthy the way you approach it. But I think in general, it's not so much that the translucency is like a vanity thing. Oh, I just have to look amazing. But it's this understanding that you can see sun damage below the layers before it even appears. So, you know, I remember when I was younger, my mom was in her 30s, she would be like, I don't feel like my skin is that healthy right now. I can see the sun damage. I'm like, where? But, you know, it's really that transparency when that's gone. It's you start, when you do those exams, the skin imaging device, you do see the sun damage underneath.
Yeah, right.
And that does translate to a less translucent skin tone.
What would happen to me there? I mean, I have a lot of freckles.
It's not about freckles. Yeah. Freckles are fine. It's definitely more about your skin at its healthiest.
Okay.
Jeez. But for sure, I do think that, you know, as in any culture, there is definitely like that extreme. You take it too far mm-hmm. and it definitely becomes, you know, a very unhealthy approach. But I would say for the most part, it's not really about that.
So it's a really hyper-competitive market. And they are, it's the Korean companies and the Korean labs are so good at doing so many things. Skincare probably being first and foremost. But when you go to Korea on sourcing trips for Peach and Lily and everything, is there something that you think they don't do well that other companies elsewhere in the world do well?
I think color has come a long way recently, but for a long time, it was hard actually to source really good color brands because the pigmentation was something that a lot of manufacturers also will say we're not as good. And now they've come a long way. They've been investing in trying to get that right. So for example, you'll see this like beautiful eyeshadow palette and it's like this rich pigmented purple, it mm-hmm. seems. Then you swipe it on your skin and it's like this very washed out purple. So like that
the color payoff was not there for a while.
Yeah. And that's something that
the American brands like NYX and Urban Decay and yeah. all that, like they know how to do that, I yeah. guess.
Can yeah. you, for our listeners who aren't familiar with Peach and Lily, can you explain what that is?
Yeah. So Peach and Lily, so we're a retailer and distributor and now a brand. Mm-hmm. So we on our website, peachandlily.com, will sell, you know, a bunch of Korean beauty brands that we've brought over to the U.S. because we thought it was very innovative, high quality. You know, we fell in love with the brand and we have a whole criteria list for that. And then we also will want to partner with really big retail channels here to make sure that we can take these products and, you know, distribute it to them so that more people can access it in the channels that they like shopping.
You just did something with Barney's, right?
Yeah. So we just did this mask bar with Barney's and curated some really next level sheet masks for Barney's.
Next level sheet.
Yeah.
That would be so funny if it said that, like Barney's. I'm daydreaming now. Yeah. It's kind of Barney's. So yes, you have these mask bars and you also sell, like you've also dealt with Urban Outfitters too, right?
Yeah. So mm-hmm. we distribute to Sephora, to
all
QVC,
the big guys. Oh my God.
Target. We have our shop in shop in Macy's in two locations, to Urban Outfitters, Anthropologie, Space NK.
What has done so well for Peach and Lily? Like what is your best-selling product or category?
So we don't have a best-selling, I guess by number of units of things that sell, definitely masks. Just, you know, but they're lower
price
items.
The sheet masks or just masks in general?
I would say masks in general, but sheet masks mainly because we have more of them on our site. So it's a little bit mm-hmm. not as apples to apples, but I think any mask, whether it's a sheet mask or a different kind of mask that's under a certain price point, those just fly off shelves because it's a very gateway and easy way.
What's your gateway mask? Give us a
My
SKU.
My gateway mask is, I mean, I'm very biased, but the Peach and Lily Good Skin Day mask is just my...
Is that a sheet mask or a...
It's a sheet mask.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's in it? That's so fab.
So it basically, we call them super skin ingredients. So there's all these natural ingredients when combined together will give you like a extra good skin day. So chubby cheeks, reset button,
oh
good
my
skin
God,
day.
Chubby cheeks. There's a mask so called cute. Chubby cheeks.
Chubby cheeks. It's our mask that will instantly
that's
live plump and brighten.
That's a good name. I don't know why I like it.
And so
that.
Everything from like ginseng, soybean, avocado, centella asiatica, snail secretion filtrate. There's like a dozen plus of the super skin ingredients we combined in each of these sheet masks. It took us, I thought it was going to take maybe, I don't know, like a third of the time, but it took me 18 months to formulate these three sheet masks and over 500 test formulas because we asked our consumers, like, what do you want in your dream sheet mask? And they had, you know, thousands of people responded mm-hmm. with like really detailed. We sent out a survey that was very detailed, and I was thinking like, oh, two people will answer this. It's so long. And it was like thousands. So it took me a month just to even analyze the consistent themes that were popping up. And they were things like no alcohol, no synthetic fragrances, no stickiness after use. I wanted to absorb in. Yeah. Instant radiance, but I want to wake up and then still look even more amazing. I want like a ton of really good ingredients. Yeah, it was like, and everyone's like, and then I don't want it to be like that expensive. So I actually took a base formula. So I approached the top sheet mask manufacturers in Korea for our sheet mask, and they were all like, we can't make this because this is like not off the shelf.
It'll cost like $3,000.
Yeah, and also like, what is this dream list that you're bringing me?
Yeah.
Here's like the formulas we have. So I actually started formulating in my own kitchen. I was like, okay, I can try this without alcohol, and if I use a drop of essential oil, it's not going to be that greasy, even if I don't have alcohol in it. And then I took it to a couple smaller labs, and I said, I kind of came up with this base, but I need your patience here because I need to understand, like, when I add in these other active ingredients or, like, these natural ingredients, how will that, you know, interact with the base formula? Is this going to work? Mm-hmm. And they were super amazing to work with. I mean, we went back and forth so many times, but by the end of the 18 months, you know, we were incredibly happy with delivering on every point that, you know, we wanted in there. And within a week after launch, it all sold out. I was completely shocked.
That's awesome.
So yeah, those, we call it the Dream Sheet Mask Collection because it's, you know, created, co-created with our consumers.
And getting all this feedback from your consumers and obviously being direct to consumers so you get numbers right away, have you been able to pick out over the last couple of years themes of what makes something popular in the United States? Because I know when I visited Korea, I was like, that, I don't know, some of them, like, I'm like, that's not going to fly in the States. I'm sure you do the same thing. What does work here, and why do you think that is?
So one big theme I've noticed is there has to be, if there's something new or unfamiliar or innovative, there has to be, like, one thing that's emphasized.
It can't have, like, bird poop and snail secretions.
Yeah, and then, like, a water jelly texture, and then, like, this. Like, mm-hmm. if it's too much, it's, like, way too much to process, even if in reality it does have a few new things. We found it most effective when the brand, and for us too, can really hone in on one key thing that is compelling and different and just innovative. So with innovation, we found, you know, keep it simple, but, you know, make it very crystal clear what that thing is. Mm-hmm. After some time, you can definitely bring in, you know, some other things. But there are also just, you know, we have a wide audience, so we definitely, if you want to know all of what's new and interesting about it, we definitely do provide that information. Like, if you search for it, it's there. And in the product page, it's there. But in terms of, like, marketing it and how to explain it, we focus on...
This is a jelly texture. That's the cool thing.
Exactly.
Oh, it has a great ingredient, but it's about the jelly texture.
Exactly.
Or whatever it might be.
You know, you always hear, at least, you know, in beauty circles, like, oh, you know, in Korea, everyone has this 10-step, like, you know, bare minimum skincare routine. Is that really true, or is this just like a thing, like an urban myth?
I think that on average, there are definitely more steps in the average Korean person's skincare routine in Korea.
10?
I think that, so it varies. Some people could have 4 and some people could have 20. But I think that...
How long are they standing in front of their sink? Do they have a job? Like, what's the most you've heard? Like, how long at night a woman would spend on her skincare?
I would say maybe half an hour.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah, that's a lot of time.
Half an hour. I would say 15 minutes, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I use well over 12 every day, but I have eczema. I have sensitive skin. I am prone to sagging. My skin is dehydrated.
Prone to sagging. Your skin does not look... I just wanted to say on the record, Alicia Yoon does not have saggy skin. She has beautiful, taut skin.
Wait, you bring up a very good point I wanted to ask you about, though. You said you have sensitive skin. We've often talked about how, like, if you do have sensitive skin, sometimes you want to pare back and use fewer products. So how are you making it work with 12 products?
Yeah, so people with sensitive skin, you definitely want to be very careful with essential oils. Like, natural is not always better.
Yeah.
You definitely want to be careful with the active. So a lot of, like, acids and so forth. Like, definitely I can only pick one And I actually don't use a lot of retinol-based products or even vitamin C.
So what are these 12 products?
So because I have sensitive skin, the two things I have to work on a lot is hydration as well as my skin barrier, keeping that really strong, mm-hmm. and doing things that help kind of create like a healthier skin environment overall. So I want to make sure. So what I'll do is I'll definitely like triple cleanse, which is a thing in Korea too. So because I have sensitive skin, I do not ever want to be tugging or, you know, I have just like I've struggled lifelong with eczema and it's just, you know, something I have to deal with. And so if I don't hydrate my skin head to toe really, really well, I will turn into like an alligator overnight. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, and I have just, I just have flare ups. And
the body too, body skin too.
Head to toe. Yeah. And so when I was going to, growing up in Korea, we have this family facialist, which is not like you have to be, it's not like a super exclusive thing. You can choose to go to like a skin clinic and get like a membership. Maybe you have like a pass of 10, you know, it's like going to the gym, mm-hmm. or your family can have like a facialist that you all share.
And it's a facialist. It's not a dermatologist. It's a facialist.
She's a facialist. Yeah.
And I just have to like paint the picture for myself. And our listeners, like, is it like you go in and there's like a spa type environment, or like this is not like most American families? Like, if I say, "Oh, I have a facial," it's like, "Ooh, la di da." You know what I mean? Like a facial definitely seems like a luxury here. It's not a luxury over there.
Not really. So our family facialist, we go to her like her clinic, but it's actually just in an apartment building. So it's a one bedroom apartment building. The outside has like a little shower thing she's installed and like some places to lounge around, and she'll like, you know, chat it up. She has like all these like books. She's like a very, very like skin nerd type facialist. You know, I also always thought she was like 10 years older than me, but then I realized as I get older, she always consistently looks like
the same age.
That's the same age. And I found out she's actually older than my mom, and I was like, what? But you know, then the inside, she just has like three beds. And she has all of her equipment there. It's just, you know, you would never be able to find her place unless you know her. Mm-hmm. And so we, as a family, you know, my mom has 8 siblings, and, you know, when my grandmother was still alive, like all the women in the family, mm-hmm. sometimes my mom will take my dad there, but usually the women are like much more gung-ho about seeing her regularly. They'll all pool in, and actually, I don't really know their arrangement, but I know that it's kind of like this shared thing.
This auntie goes, then this auntie.
Yeah.
Then Alicia.
And I'll like, it's usually kind of social. So I'll usually go with my mom and my grandmother, or I'll go with my aunt, or me and my sister will go. And then you don't pick ahead of time what facial you're going to get. She tells you what you need. And sometimes I'm out of there in 10 minutes, and other times it's like 2 hours.
And is this something that people of all, like across all socioeconomic groups have? Like they have a family facialist?
No, I would say that you can choose how you want to get your facial. So you can also just go to like a skin maintenance clinic down the street from you, and mm-hmm. it's like, you know, $30 for okay. a session. And she's our family facialist. She's not that much more expensive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, of course, like, I would say, like, if you are really living in, like, really, really struggling to make ends meet, you probably wouldn't be going and getting right. facials. But for the most part, it would be the equivalent of, like, going to...
Like a haircut? Like getting your nails done for $10 or something?
Exactly. Maybe a little bit pricier, but kind of you wouldn't go as frequently. Or it's like getting your nails done, or like belonging to a gym, you know?
Wow.
You just go
That's
to the
really
gym.
Interesting.
Okay, before we let you leave, though, what's next? There was like sleeping snail. There was sheet masks. Like, what are you seeing the last time you were in Korea that you want to bring to the States?
Definitely a lot of spas and dermatology clinics are now starting to go retail. There's one derm product, and it's not even a brand. It's like they have one SKU that I'm really excited about, which I've seen different kind of versions of that here too. But basically, it's a simple hyaluronic acid serum, but they use, you know, a very interesting blend of short chain and long chain hyaluronic acid serums, which, again, I've seen a few here. But when I tested theirs, They don't even call it a serum. They call it like a serum veil, because when you put it on, what it feels like is all the stuff is being absorbed into your skin. It's like a invisible, lightweight, clear serum. But then all of a sudden you feel this veil that's formed on your skin. So it's almost like when I tested it, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. When I use like 3 layers of this, I don't really feel the need to use a moisturizer.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming on Fat Mess.
Thank you for having me.
Alicia, thank you so much.
You know what it's time for?
What is it time for?
Raise a what? It gets worse every time.
I know.
Okay. Last week was our Raise a Wand Desert Island. What is this week? A regular old Raise a Wand. What
regular,
do you got?
Regular. Well, mine's like, you know, it's kind of regular. But it's about an organization. I was just like really touched by this.
Oh, what?
This Orlando-based company called Clean the World.
Yeah.
Has been like collecting used hotel soap. And I know that sounds gross. I know we're just talking about soap.
We just had the conversation about soap. Wait, like the weird little remnants of soap, like, yeah, you leave behind
sliver,
in the hotel?
Okay, listen. Think of the sliver. It never really gets down to a sliver because you're there for like 2 seconds. Like, I mean, unless you're like really like, you know, luxing it up. But they change the soap all the time. So think about if you go to a hotel, use the soap like once or twice and then you leave it there. It just like goes in the trash.
Yeah.
But this company,
what are they doing?
Is taking the used hotel soap, they melt it down, and then they make new soap. Like, so it's not all like gross. It's not like, oh, like, you know, pube soap, to send it to impoverished countries. So they give it to like NGOs like the Red Cross. And I'm like,
there's got to be some sort of purification or like,
yes, no, it's not just like they're melting it down in their like, you know, yard. They're making it into fresh new soap, because think about,
but what else is, I, but they make sure that it's a,
yes,
clean,
no,
soap.
This is a legit company.
Okay.
And they're taking it and they're making it to like legit clean soap, because think about all of the people that are dying from like
disease. Lack of hygiene. Okay.
Yeah, they're
okay.
Dying from like,
so even if they get a stray pube in there, it's fine, because now they can wash their hands.
I really think the pubes are being washed away. I really do.
I'm sure that they are. That's a very cool concept.
It's such a noble thing. And then also, just like as an FYI, I thought this was really cool.
Hmm.
I put on our Instagram when I was in Paris, and I was like, who else is hoarding their, like, you know, hotel toiletries?
Mm-hmm.
And then lovely Ellen McGuire, our, one of our friends of the podcast, she was like, she is like, you know, a big dog at Carla Otto. She was like, I and my team, we like collect all of our, like, you know, cause they travel a lot, and like being glam, they collect their toiletries and then they give them to Bowery Mission, which is like an amazing nonprofit here in, you know, New York. So that's what I've been doing. I've been like saving all the little toiletries.
I do that too. My mom does that too.
I like, hello. Like, I think that's such a great idea.
Remind me before your Raise a Wand ends, the name of the soap company.
The name of,
just in case anybody wants to check it out and support,
yes,
their,
yes,
mission.
Clean the World.
Raise a wand to clean the world.
Clean the world.
Then let's get even more serious, shall we? And raise a wand to a blush. I always remember, this was another highlight of my year, by the way, when you once said, like, always more is better with blush. Like, you can't really overdo it. And I feel like I'm always scared to put blush on. And then every time I do put it on, people are like, you look so great. So this is Flower Beauty.
Ooh.
Sold at Walmart, Drew Barrymore's line, and they have these new Flower Pots powder blushes. Have you seen those? It's got a like cool like rose like, yeah, imprinted on it. Looks super high end and luxe. It's only $8.
Oh my god, only $8.
Which is, and this little pan has lasted me. They just like, I've had mine for a little bit longer than the regular person since I got it early.
You've been using it a lot.
I have been. My shade is Sweet Pea. I know the people at NARS are not going to like this, but it is like a less shimmery orgasm. It's like a cool and warm peach and pink together, and it looks amazing, and I can load it on for $8. Like, it's going to last me forever, and Flower Pots powder blush, raise a wand.
Nice.
Yep. That's all. We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode, so I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at fatmascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys.
It's It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.